Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We're finishing a series today on prayer, and then next week we launch into a brand new series called Orbit, My Orbit. And some of you think, man, my neighbor's on a ulterior, he's on a different universe over here. We're not talking about that type of thing. We're talking about our orbit, our sphere of influence. So next week we're going to start talking about how we can impact the people around us. But since January, we've kind of been on a series on holy habits, and then kind of went into prayer and just looking and saying, how do we at True North develop a relationship that has a depth and a dynamic with Jesus and a relationship with him? And so I've enjoyed the prayer series. I'm not preaching on prayer because I have it all figured out. I'm preaching on prayer because I need to figure it out. Anyone here have it all figured out? Or how many of you guys are all like on this path going, hey, man, I need some help. And how many of you guys have ever found yourself totally completely bored and didn't know how to pray? Don't raise your hand, but there's some of us in here, right? Or a place where you're like, I just don't know if I'm good enough or know the words and all that. So this series has been really, how do we build some confidence in prayer? And hopefully if you missed some of the last 4 weeks, you go back and listen to our podcast or go online to watch the videos, things like that. Our theme verse is Ephesians 6, and if you have a worship guide, you can follow along. And tonight, we're going to talk about, our topic is the sheep's prayer. And why? Because we're going to look at the Lord as my shepherd. So if the Lord's your shepherd, you must be a sheep, right? So we're going to talk about the sheep's prayer, and we're going to talk about how we can interact with God. Another tool. Ephesians 6 says this: pray in the Spirit in every, say every, in every situation. This series has been, you know, let's not just pray, you know, let's not find a time in the morning just to pray. And that's like our time of prayer. And it's like, oh, I'm done praying. Now I can go live my life. No, pray in every situation. It means when I go to work, when I get home from work, when I drop my kids off at an event, when I pick my kids up from an event, when I talk to my bride, when I answer an email, before I answer an email, in other words, in every situation, begin to develop an every situation prayer life. It's like we could talk to God all day long. How many know that? We have that ability. So in every situation, and it goes on, it says this: use every kind of prayer and request there is. There's different kinds. There's different models. There's different tools. Today's another one of those tools. It's another one of those opportunities for how do we grow in prayer. And so, when we talk about prayer, I have a question. Why should God answer our prayers? He answers prayers because it's his nature to answer prayers. It's not because of us. It's because God is who he is. Now, we're going to talk about today about, I live in a house with 5 kids and a wife. And I have an incredible life, I believe. And I have an incredible bride, which helps the happy wife, happy life, right? But I have 4 daughters and I have a son. And it's amazing how I can, you know, at times go, hey, sweetheart, could you go tell your sister's dinner's ready? Go tell your brother's dinner ready. And they'll go and say, hey, dinner's ready, and no one comes out. Or, hey, could you come out and put the dishes away? And I said, how come? It's like 5 minutes. They haven't done the dishes. What's going on? Well, I told them. I said, go tell them Dad told you to tell them it's time to come do the dishes. Now, how many want to know? It's amazing when Dad's name is thrown in, there's a different authority my 10-year-old has to get her sisters to do the dishes. Anyone know what I'm talking about? It's a different dynamic when Dad's name is thrown in the pile. Well, how many want to know that my name going, well, Lord, answer my prayer because, Lord, I'm pastor. I'm Mark. And Lord, you need to answer my prayer because I pastor a great church in town. And Lord, I pray often. And how many want to know that doesn't answer prayers? It's Lord, in the name of Jesus. My authority comes not from what I've done or who I am, but our authority comes from who? The name of Jesus and the name we pray with. And so today I want to look at the Lord's Prayer in Psalms, or excuse me, I want to look at the prayer in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. That prayer, that psalm, but that psalm has 8 different names of God in it. 8 Hebrew covenant names. When I say covenant names, you know, when I stood up on the platform 23 years ago to get married to my wife, I don't remember my entire vows. How many of you guys remember your vows? How many of you guys remember you said vows? How many of you could probably remember 80% of the vow, like for good times and bad and sickness and health and money and all those things? I remember that part. But I did not stand up there and read my vow and say, now, honey, if you do A, B, and C, you can expect D from me. But if you only do A, B, honey, you're only getting this out of me. Because I'm marrying you for sickness and health if you do this and this. How many guys? How many guys think that your wedding day would have been a little bit different that day with that type of vow? How many think your marriage would be different today with that type of vow? And a covenant vow is when you make a covenant to someone, and through good times and bad, sickness and health. And so when I talk about a covenant, God, we understand agreements in America, but covenant we don't get anymore. But when we look at the different names of God, these are characteristics of God that will never change. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And aren't you glad the God we pray to and the God who answers prayers never changes? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to look at this idea of the shepherd's prayer. And so let's go to Psalms 23. It's on the screen. It's also in your worship guide. And if you follow along with the YouVersion Bible app, our notes are there as well. And in Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's look at this. Let's take out our worship guide. Let's take a look at 8 points tonight. Eight covenant names. These are names. All eight of those, these Hebrew names for God, is found in this prayer here in Psalms 23. Number one, you're my shepherd. We see this in verse 1 where it says, the Lord is my, say my, shepherd. The Lord's not a shepherd. He's not the Lord is the shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. He's our personal, it's a personal thing. And that word shepherd is Jehovah Rah, which means he's my pastor. And the idea there is that the pastor or the shepherd, someone, how many times as I read that, you led me beside still water. You led me to green pastures. Your rod and staff, they comfort. There's a part of shepherding that you lead and you feed and you comfort and you take care. You prepare a table. A shepherd, that's what a shepherd does. I think even on the church side, as we looked at the new year, we thought, how do we recalibrate and help people focus on some holy habits and some deep on the inside stuff? So we did that series and then prayer, and we're going to shift here and do something on evangelism. Why? As a shepherd, we want to lead and we want to feed. We want to take you to areas we feel like we need to go. But that's what the Lord does. How many are glad that God knows everything? And if God knows everything, he knows how to lead you and where to feed you. He knows what you need. A good shepherd is a shepherd that knows that, you know, these sheep don't have the right feed here. I got to lead them a place they might not even want to go, but I got to lead them over here to greener pastures and better. So we have a Lord who shepherds us and he guides us. And so in our prayer time, this is how it helps. Lord, you're my shepherd. Lord, I need some direction today. God, would you lead me? God, would you guide me? Have you ever needed God's leadership and guidance in your life? You ever need some direction in your life? You needed God to kind of steer you in a certain way? There's times when we pray, we can go to the covenant God and say, Lord, you're my shepherd, which means you know how to lead me. You're my pastor. You know how, you know what I need. Could you steer me that direction? In John 10:14, it says, not only is he just a shepherd, it says, I'm the good shepherd. How many are glad he's your shepherd and he's a good shepherd? It's not like, oh, snap, I got called on that team. That's my coach. This isn't Pee Wee League here, okay? Jesus is your shepherd. God is your shepherd, and he's the good shepherd. In fact, he's the best shepherd. It says, I'm a good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Now, I know he knows you, but how much do we know him? If you want to know him, in fact, in John 10, it goes on, talks about, you know, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And I always have said this, if you want to know the shepherd's voice, you have to spend some time in the shepherd's pasture. In other words, we have to spend some time with God to begin to hear what God's voice sounds like. But he knows his sheep. He knows you. He knows everything about you, and he still loves us. That's the thing about God. He knows everything about us, and he still loves us. He's our shepherd. Number two, he's our provider. And this is the Hebrew word, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And the verse is verse 1, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. I shall not want. Now, how many of you have ever had wants in your life? How many of you, you know, are thinking about the wanting a good steak after service tonight? It's too late for that, right? You know, there's certain wants you have. There's certain desires. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What that means is there's not going to be desires you have. What it means is he's never going to leave you without what you need. There's no lack that you're going to have if he's your shepherd. That doesn't mean there's not wants. He's not talking about the fact the Lord is your shepherd that you'll never want. He'll give you everything you want. He doesn't say that. You'll not want. In other words, you'll never have anything you lack because the God who's a shepherd knows what you need, and he's your provider, and he'll provide what you need. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. The challenge is, how many of us see ourselves as the provider in our home? The provider for our family. The provider for every decision that has to happen. No, the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. He's our provider. But we live in a culture that there's different personality types. And I'm kind of a type A driven person. I know it's probably hard for some of you to recognize that in me. But I'm kind of clear. I know what I want. I'm kind of going to go grab bull by the horns and try to make it happen. But the reality is there are certain times you can't make life happen in the spiritual realm. You have to let the shepherd and God provide for you. Because how many of you know that we could not collect enough stuff of ourselves to take care of ourselves? It doesn't matter how much money you have. I don't know of the 105,000 people now worldwide that have coronavirus. I don't know if it only touches the socioeconomic class that doesn't have enough. Or is it kind of equal opportunity virus? I'm going to go after any color, any race, anywhere, any economic. In other words, how can we be secure? And I can say right now, there's nothing we can do to be fully secure without truly trusting in the fact that God is our provider. Philippians says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. In other words, the government's not your provider. Your boss is not your provider. Your spouse isn't your provider. Your job's not your Jehovah Jireh is your provider. He supplies all our needs according to his glorious riches. I'm thankful we've got a God who provides. How's this prayer work? Lord, you're my shepherd. Would you lead me today? Would you guide me today? And Lord, you're my provider. There's some things outside my control I need you to provide. There's a job I'm looking for. Lord, I need this over here. You see how that works? And the third aspect of this prayer is you're my peace. God is my peace. I love this verse where it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In other words, he tells me when I should slow down and when I should stop. Now, how many of you guys need God to maybe sometimes tell you to slow down and stop because you won't listen to your spouse or someone else? You know, he leads me. You know, God doesn't have peace for us. God is peace for us. You got to understand that. It's not that God has this peace for us. God is peace. And he has the ability to help us find that peace that he is. So see, in other words, you don't have to look for it in a bottle. You don't have to look for it in a drug. You don't have to look for his peace in a relationship. You don't have to look for his peace in a location or the type of situation. If only I had this job, I wouldn't have as much stress. No, you find peace because God's covenant name is Jehovah Shalom, which means my peace. God can bring peace. And I'm convinced there's people in here tonight who you've had a hard time finding peace because the stress and the weight and the different circumstances in life. Now, how many of you know not everything that's doable is sustainable? In other words, some of us in here, I read this book once. It was called Leading on Empty. And I read it during a season of my life where I was super tired. It was about a decade ago, and I was working extra hard and all these hours. And I read this book that said this: what starts out with excitement and vision kills you when it turns to maintenance. Because everything you start, you have to maintain. And I realized that, and how many of us find ourselves going, if I had more, life would be easier. What's the mantra of our culture? $1 is good, $2 is better. One car that works is good, two cars and with auto start is this time of year better, right? Well, a couple months ago, right? And we have this, in fact, Ecclesiastes says something totally different. It says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Better than one handful with tranquility than two. And so two fistfuls of life, you know, the Bible says, no, it's better to do with less. But we think, well, if I'm doing this activity, I can maybe get this promotion or get this scholarship if you're a high school kid, or if I do all these things. And sometimes it's not that way. If $1 is good, $2 is better. Well, what if one kid is good, two kids is a choice. If one wife is good, two wives is wrong. Okay, don't even go there. He's your peace. In John 14, it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. How many want to know there's peace and then there's his peace? Jehovah Shalom can speak in. He can slip in and he can offer peace. There's some of you, maybe your home has been torment. Maybe there's some news you one of your children gave you that just caused you to not, for sleep to evade you, or I don't know your circumstances, or maybe the income, the outgo exceeds the income, and the upkeep's the downfall, and you're paddling the water to try to stay above the neck when it comes to finances. You're going like, ah, and the stress and the weight, but Jehovah Shalom is our peace. We go to him and say, Lord, you're my shepherd. I come to you. God, you're my provider. I need you. God, you're my peace. Would you comfort me today? Would you help me find the green pastures in the midst of the desert I'm in right now, the oasis that comes with your peace? And number four, you're my healer. You're my healer. In Psalms 23, verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. When we think of healing, we often think of, you know, I got a broken leg, God heals it. We have a tumor, it's gone, or this or that. But how many want to know that God restores our soul? How many want to know we're more than human beings? We're souls, we're spirits. And we have the physical flesh side, and our body can break down. But I'll tell you right now, there's also the spirit, and there's the soul, and there's the part of our life. And God says, I can restore your soul. The word restore means to return to the original place, to bring it back to the place that it left. God can restore. God wants to bring everything back the devil's stolen. How many are glad that the devil came to rob, kill, destroy, but God came to give you life and life what? More abundantly. God can restore things. And maybe there's some of you in here, you need God to step in and restore. That's why we have Living Free classes on Thursday nights. That's why we have support groups for those that are struggling with life-controlling addictive behaviors or habits or codependent relationships or whatever the challenges are, or drugs or alcohol. We have these care groups. Why? Because we truly believe God can restore the soul of a person and God can heal someone, that you don't have to live, that the Son can set someone free and they can be free indeed. We truly believe that. And it points back to God can heal. He's a restorer. And we're not just talking about physical healing and bodies that will die anyway. We're talking about the spirit of a human that can get sick and God can restore it and bring it back to life. Why? Because he's Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, he restores our soul. He's our healer. And some of you in here need to experience that in a deeper way. If you don't want to pause here, maybe some of you in here, you've been looking for wholeness for a long time, and it's evading you. Maybe because of the abuse of the past, or situations, or choices that happened so fast, and you found yourself spun out of control, and you're trying to put the brokenness back together. Our world sees something broken, they throw it away. But God sees something broken, he goes, I'm in the recycling business. I love broken pieces because I know how to put them back together. He's our restorer. Oh, shepherd, would you lead me? Oh, provider, Jehovah Jireh, would you meet my needs? God, would you bring me peace? And Lord, would you heal me? Would you heal me? Jehovah Rapha, would you step in and restore me? And in 1 Peter, it says this in chapter 2. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, we're what? Healed. Once you're like sheep who wandered away, but now you've turned to the shepherd, the guardian of your souls. He wants to heal you and he wants to touch your soul and guard and protect your soul. That's who he is. We can find healing in Jesus. The fifth covenant name of God we see in the book of Psalms is, God, you're my righteousness. In Psalms 23, it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Say paths. For his name's sake, I believe that righteousness is a path. And when I word the use of righteousness, if that word's new to you, it means living in the right. Unrighteousness is living in the wrong. And so he leads us in the path of righteousness. In other words, he leads us in the path of the right way to go, the right decisions to make. See, sometimes we think, well, I come to God and God, boom, God will make my whole life better. Well, God, I don't believe any prayer is sincere unless you walk away from the altar and ask and do everything in your power to see the answer happen. You come to the altar and say, God, I need you to heal me, and you pray as if everything depends upon God. But then you walk away and you work as if everything depends upon you. And he'll lead us in the paths of righteousness. We come to him as our shepherd and our healer and say, God, heal me. But then it says he's going to lead us in the paths that are right. It's a path, it's the next step. And some of us, that's the challenge, is we want God to poof, make it a miracle, microwave Christianity. And God's going, there's a path and it's going to be difficult. It's going to be the next right decision you have to make. And you might mess up, but guess what? He's there to forgive and move on. In fact, he's our righteousness, which means he makes us right. How many are thankful that God has forgiven our past, is currently forgiven our current, and he's already taken care of our future? That doesn't mean that we can keep on sinning and Paul had that discussion in the book of Romans. Shall I sin that grace may abound? He goes, God forbid. You don't sin because you know God's forgiven you. You stop sinning because you know God forgave you. There's something that changes as you find that path. And see, the word for righteousness here is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means my righteousness. The righteous path is not boring. It's God's path for our life. It's a good path. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, as obedient, or people taking the next right step, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Be holy. Now that word holy is not an action. You realize holy is a noun? It doesn't describe who you are, it describes an aspect. Be holy as I'm holy. In other words, allow the holiness of God to be who you are. It describes we're holy, as in fact, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So just as he called you to be holy, so be holy in all you do. Be who God's called you to be. Number six, The sixth covenant name for God is, you're my constant companion. My constant companion. Psalms 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Pastor Rob preached this a couple gatherings this morning, and he goes, he kept reading that as if it was kid, yeah. Instead of yay, yeah, like a kid answers, what do you want? Yeah, is that okay? Yeah. It's not, yeah, though I walk through the valley. It's yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice it says walk, which means you can get through it. How many want to know, if you're walking through a valley right now, just keep walking, because if you keep walking, you'll get through it. How many are thankful you can have a rally in your valley? That you can keep getting, you can get past to where you're at. Yea, though I walk through the valley. In other words, he's there. He's the constant companion. There's nowhere I can go. If I go to the heavens, David says he's there. If I go to the depths of the ocean, he's there. I can't go anywhere to flee from what? His presence. God's always there. How many are thankful that God is always there? If you're in a funeral home, he's there. If you're in the office, he's there. If you're in a counseling appointment, he's there. If you're in the hospital room, he's there. If you're in the courtroom, he's there, because there's nowhere you can go that he's not there. If you're in the wrong place, he's also there and sees everything, right? Because he's got a covenant name, Jehovah Shammah, which means always by my side. I love what Hebrews says. He will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And the answer to that is nothing, because God is always there. And wherever I go, he's there. I can't flee from his presence. He's the ever-present help in time of need. And so when you go and you begin to pray this prayer, you're saying, Lord, you're my shepherd. Would you lead me? God, you're my provider. Would you provide? I need some help here today. And God, I need some peace, because right now the mind monsters are screaming in my head. And the situations are beyond my control. But Lord, I need you to give peace to me right now. And God, I need you. God, I need you to be, I need to become more like you, because you're my righteousness. Lord, would you help me? And God, you're my healer. Would you heal me? And God, I'm so thankful that I'm not here alone right now. You're my constant companion, and you're walking with me. Some of you need to know that God knows right where you're at tonight. God knows what you're wrestling with up here. God knows the fears you go to bed with. God knows the anxiousness you have, and he's your ever-present help, constant companion in time of need. And he's there, right? You're walking through the valley of shadow. And here's the thing about shadows. Shadows are always bigger than reality, aren't they? They're always bigger. But shadows mean there's a light coming from behind. There's a light there. And the God behind you is bigger than the problem in front of you, because he's your constant companion. And he'll never leave you and forsake you. Number seven, he's my defender. He's my defender. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That, I used to read that and think, that doesn't make any sense. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's almost like, hey, let's eat and let them look at us eat. But that's not the picture there. The Hebrew covenant word here is Jehovah Nissi, which means my banner of victory. In other words, he goes and he fights the battle so I can eat in peace. He prepares a table before me. How many of you guys are thankful that right now, 3,000 of our soldiers in Fairbanks are deployed so we can have peace where we are in America right now? Not just in Fairbanks, but around the world, because we have men and women who fight the battles every day. So they do that. But we have a God who does it at a grander scale. But aren't you thankful for our military? I know there's military personnel here tonight. They've been at all five gatherings. Thank you for serving our country. But God's our protector. This means we can relax, because the banner of victory means he's already won. I've said it before. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. How many of you know our God has already won the battle? Read the book of Revelation. We win. He has won. He died on the cross. He's already resurrected from the dead. And in Thessalonians, it says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. So when you're praying, you say, Lord, and you're my defender. Maybe you're wrestling a battle. You're battling a case right now. Maybe for in a court, or you're battling something at work, or you're battling over the identity for a son or daughter. I don't know what your situation is. You're fighting for a marriage. God's your defender. God will step up. He's your victory. He's your banner. He's my shepherd. He's my provider. He's my peace. And I don't know about you. I don't always remember things. In fact, I might not be like you, because maybe every one of you remembers everything. But I don't remember, so I write things down. And so in the front of my Bible, I have the sheep's prayer written down, and I have it right here. I have the Lord, you're my provider, my peace, and my healer. Why? So in my prayer times, I can open up and go, okay, God, I'm going to pray a new prayer today, a different prayer than yesterday. And Lord, would you provide, and would you bring peace, and would you bring healing? And God, you're my defender. There's some circumstances I need you to step in and help with today. I know the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So Lord, defend me today. Help me today. Protect me today. And lastly, he's my sanctifier. And this is one of those church words for you. So if you're not very churchy, I'll explain what this word means. Because it was one of those words that always kind of, there's a couple words. You ever grow up or go to church and think, those are just weird words. They just don't make sense. And the people that said them, I didn't want to be like them sometimes, right? So I wasn't sure if I liked the word. But that word sanctifier, it literally means, in fact, let's go to Psalms 23, verse 5. It says, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. In the Old Testament, there's this thought of anointing someone or pouring oil over their head. And it was to give them supernatural ability to show that the hand of God was upon them. Now, how many of you would like God's hand on top of your hand? How many of you, when you touch the world with your fingerprints, would love to know that God's fingerprints on top of your fingerprints, so when you're touching the world, it's actually him touching the world with your fingerprints to touch it? That's called the anointing. Now, when I was a kid, it's like I'd show up for church and someone would play the piano, and at a certain point, if the presence of God was there, they'd start to like a little holy twitch, and I'm like, someone said, oh, the anointing fell. I'm like, what? If the anointing makes you do a twitch like that, I don't know if I want that. But if the anointing means God's fingerprints are on top of my fingerprints, so when I touch the world, true change can happen in people's lives. That I want in the name of Jesus. So when we say God's our sanctifier, that word sanctify means to set apart for something special. In fact, the Hebrew covenant word for God here is Jehovah Makadesh, which means God has set me apart for something special. Now, I want to pause here for a second. How many of you know? How many of you know? Well, maybe you don't. I'm going to tell you, every one of you in here has been set apart by God for something special. And as a kid, I rode the school bus to games and stuff, and there's a little sign in the front of the bus that said, God don't make no junk. God's made every one of us special. God has a plan for you, and hopes and dreams for every one of us. He's made, and the anointing of God, when God says he's our sanctifier, it means he set us apart, and God has dreams for every one of us. That's why one thing we do here at True North, we love, one of my favorite things about True North is our Grow Track, where we see people go through, they learn about the church, they learn about kind of what our values are, core values, our reason for being, and why we do what we do the way we do, and then the third week of Grow Track, you take spiritual gifts test and personality exam, and you learn about the ministries of the church, and you find out where your gifts might fit, how God's anointed you to serve, because I truly believe the greatest way you can make an impact in this world is when you realize God has anointed you and set you apart to make a difference. He's our sanctifier. He's our setter-aparter. In 1 Peter, it says, but you're chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. People, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You're a holy nation. That's why we're starting that series next week called Orbit, My Orbit. How can we make a difference in our homes, in our places of employment, the place where our burdens lead us? Because we truly believe God can use every, and God can and will use every one of us. in our sphere of influence. Hebrews, it says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that the great shepherd of the sheep, we're the sheep, equips you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing in him. In other words, God, would you equip me and work through me and anoint me to do everything that brings pleasure and glory to you so you can receive the honor. See, when we approach God this way, we approach God for when we recognize who he is. God, you're my shepherd. You're my provider. You're my peace. Some of you need to know that God's your peace tonight. Some of you need to realize that God is your provider, that he knows where you're at. He knows what you're walking through. That he's your healer. Some of you need that tonight. You need God to heal you on the inside real deep. He's our righteousness, our constant companion, our defender, and our sanctifier. Can I pray over you tonight? I want to pray over you. Let's pray, bow your heads. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you are our defender. You're our shepherd. And God, for those tonight that are in this room whose minds are in torment and a war, I keep going back to that because I really feel like there's some of you in here tonight that you're at war. God, heal them. And God, I pray for those in here today. You're our healer. Would you reach down and heal and restore spirits tonight? God's going to do deep soul work tonight. Some of you, you feel like you're so broken. You on the outside, people think you're put together, but you feel like if they really knew what I was on the inside, I don't know if they'd like me. God wants to heal you tonight. God wants to do a deep work. Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.